eternal life. It's what we talked about this morning, the things that happened when Jesus gave up the ghost and when we arose. This morning we're going to be looking in John chapter 12. And I have one verse for you. Because this verse kind of says it for us as a Christian. John chapter 12 verse 32 says, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." That's a promise, folks. That's a promise that we've been given. Jesus was lifted up. And he will draw us all to him. That ought to be enough to make you smile. Amen. Let me say that again. That should be enough to make you smile.
Amen. Amen.
And it is. It's enough to give you energy to continue to move forward in your faith. You know, we know that we serve a risen Savior. We know that we serve a God who is on His throne. But for what reason did He go to the cross to begin with? So my question this morning, y'all can answer this to yourself. Did he die for you? And did he rise again for you? Well, you know, we as Christians feel the pull of the cross. How many times have you been told, keep walking forward, keep your eye on the cross. Keep your eye on the cross, because that is where Satan is. Or where Jesus overcame Satan and brought us to the point of redemption with him. He gave that sacrifice. You know, we're all familiar with physical magnetism. I'm not going to tell off on you, Thomas. But he had a good day yesterday with his girlfriend. Magnetism, right? Magnetism. Kevin still has a good time with his wife. That's magnetism. I still love Belinda. How in the world she continues to hold on to me, I'll never know. There you go. But that's physical magnetism. And we all have it. We have a magnetism. We know that magnetism makes for electricity, doesn't it? Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but think back to the time you kissed your wife for the first time. Did you feel that electricity running through there? Do you still feel that electricity when you kiss her? Oh, you guys better say amen. And wives, did you feel that for your husbands? And do you still feel it for your husband? Well, we see it in the atom, which is the smallest thing that we know. And we also see that magnetism and electricity in the universe, which is the largest thing we know. But Jesus is not talking about physical magnetism here. We are familiar with that magnetism. But there are those to whom people are naturally drawn. You know, there are people who we're naturally drawn to. Pam just loves Billy and I. She just won't admit it. Why? Because we're men in the church. There's a connection there. And there should be a connection between every one of us. because we should all be here for the same reason. And if you're not here for that reason, my question would be, why are you here? You know, there is a force in some people's personalities, but that is not what Jesus is talking about. We're familiar with the magnetism of influence. You know, Belinda has a lot of influence on me. When she says go, I go. On my own time, of course, but you know, I go. So, you know, we have this magnetism where we're drawn to influence that others have over us. You know, some people are drawn to power figures, political leaders, business leaders, physicians, and preachers. Ron walked in with that suit on. I thought he was running for office. President, I think. But, you know, we have a magnetism to some people. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is talking about a spiritual magnetism that we experience every single time we encounter the cross. How many of you can be walking along and you see somebody with a cross on? Catches your eye, doesn't it? You're looking at a magazine that has all different types of jewelry, and you come to the crosses, they catch your eye, don't they? We should be drawn to the cross, to that magnetism, because it was at the cross that Jesus died for us. So we have to remember that when we see the cross, that we realize that there's no one hanging there anymore. He arose that we might live. You know, whether we encounter the cross in song, or in sermon, or in picture, or in thought, we feel that spiritual magnetism. How many of you like to go around reading the bumper stickers and signs on other cars? Vanessa, you still have that one on the back of your truck? What does it say?
Are you following Jesus this close?
Yeah. I like that one. Are you following Jesus this close? Well, it made people stop and think, wouldn't it? But you know what? People should feel a magnetism when they read that. A pull to the cross. Because that's what saved us. Conversion occurs when people are drawn to Christ. We can be drawn to Christ and we have that physical magnetism. Because he walked the earth just like we do. He came across the same problems on earth that we do. So we have a magnetism in that situation too when we come to Christ. But you know, this conversion is not accomplished by driving people to Christ. It's not accomplished by luring people to Christ. It is only accomplished as they are led to Christ at the cross. It's the only way it's accomplished. It's accomplished by our admiration of His character and His love. I cannot save anyone, but I'm sure come to the altar with them and pray before the cross and let the cross do its work. Because that magnetism is there. I think everybody knows about the cross. They may not understand about Christ, but they know about the cross. So if they see your car's got a cross on it, they say, oops, there goes Christian. When they should be saying, oops, I better catch up with them. I need to talk to them. I need to get to know that same Savior. So we have to... In our magnetism, we have to also pull people toward us. Because if we don't, we're not working for Him, are we? Conversion occurs when people are drawn to Christ. Not accomplished by driving people to Christ. And it's not accomplished by luring people to Christ. It's only accomplished as they are led to Christ at the cross of Calvary. It's where He died for us. That representation of His cross has power. It has power that only God can activate. And I'm thankful for that. And this same conversion is accomplished by our admiration of His character. Admiration of His character. You know, you read the stories in the New Testament about Jesus going from town to town. Very seldom do you see He stopped and rested. Very seldom do you see He stopped and ate. He was on a mission. And that's the same mission that we're on. That's to bring others to Christ through the magnetism of the cross. It's important that we remember that. That the cross pulls us to Christ, and Christ fulfills us in redemption and salvation. You know, commitment does not occur when people are shamed into service. You ever seen that? I tell you, I used to get in so much trouble at the chapel. We had 5 or 6 men at that church, and when we'd have a work day, maybe 2 men show up and 20 women. Men didn't do anything. Lady can attest to that. Belinda can attest to that. So there were times that we were doing things. We had something going on in the church, and this is kind of how it would go. I need someone to lead a prayer team Wednesday night as we go out and visit. Thank you, Mark, for volunteering. That's the way I got people to do things. They wouldn't volunteer for anything, but if you called them out and asked them to do it, they would do it. But that's not what we're talking about here. We don't want to shame anyone into serving God. But when they're drawn into the service by the uplifted Christ, we can be there, praying for them, leading them, showing them the way. See, commitment does not occur when people are shamed into that service. It is only occurs when they're drawn into service by the uplifted Christ. It's a lot easier for people to come and do things for Christ when it's Christ calling them to do it. Not me, but when Christ is calling them. That's why it's so important that as grandparents and parents, we need to remember Jesus Christ and who He is, and we need to be teaching our children what it means to be a Christian. Consecrated Christian living is not induced by appeals to fear or shame. God's not going to put fear into us. He's not going to put shame into us to get us to come to Him. He's going to call your name. He's going to call your name. Billy, you need to come. Billy, you need to step out this morning. He's going to do that, and He will do that. But it's when people see the beauty of His holiness that they finally begin to lead a pure life. Now, pure life, I'm not talking about they no longer sin. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is they lead the consecrated life. Consecrate themselves to Jesus and let Him teach what we're doing, you know, what they should be doing. The beauty of His holiness. But let's contemplate for just a moment the puzzle of the cross. We can only partly understand the atonement. We understand by what's written in the Bible. But it can be understood only in the light of incarnation. See, God was in Christ. That's what the Bible says. So that God Himself made the sacrifice. He sent his only son to die on the cross for your sins and my sins, that we might consecrate ourselves and come to him and serve him. You see, the innocent make the sacrifice for the guilty. Does that sound weird? The innocent makes the sacrifice for the guilty. Jesus was innocent, but he gave his life for you. For each one of you, he gave his life. He gave his life for me. He was tried and beaten and scarred. He had all of the wounds that we talked about last Sunday. But that offended person, Jesus Christ, made the sacrifice for the offender. Those who beat him, those who put the crown on his head, those who nailed him to the cross, those who cut him with a sword, he paid the price for their innocence that they could come to him and live for all eternity. So we have to remember that Jesus didn't just say, oh yeah, I'm going to go to the cross today. This was something he lived for all his life. That's why he was here. But, you know, as a Christian, we also experience the power of the cross. The cross is a powerful symbol. How many of you have ever seen a TV show or a movie that had an exorcism going on? What in the world did they use to drive Satan back? Huh?
Crucifix.
The cross of Jesus. It's got power. If it's got power enough to turn Satan away, it's pretty powerful. The crucifixion cross. The empty tomb is something that we can use and look at to have the power of the cross. Because the cross is powerful. That's why the cross replaced the fish as the symbol of our faith. Did you know that? Did you know that? That's why the cross replaced the symbol of the fish for our faith, is because it's more powerful than the symbol of a fish. Now, I'm not saying the symbol of a fish is bad, because that tells me that you're a fisherman of men. That's an identifying mark, but it's not going to save you. It's not going to save you. That only comes through the cross. Today, the cross in our world today, with all the things that's going on between the government and the churches, the cross is the most widely recognized symbol in the world. Now that's pretty powerful right there. It's a powerful lesson to each of us. In the cross, we see how far sin will go. Men killed the world's one perfect person, killed the Savior of the world, killed the Son of God. So there was a powerful lesson there for them. It is also a powerful lesson in this. When you look at that empty cross, it shows you how far love will go for you. How far will God's love go for you? It took him off the cross, didn't it? He arose. So it lets us know that the powerful lesson is there. We see how far sin will go. It will nail a Savior to the cross. It will nail God's Son to the cross. That's how far sin will go. But men killed the world's one perfect person, Jesus. He killed the Savior of the world, Jesus. And he killed the Son of God, Jesus. How would you like to have that on your shoulders? That'd be a heavy cross to bear right there, wouldn't it? The Apostle Paul speaks, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." It's hard to understand someone dying for you. We don't see that anymore. But it's hard to understand that. You know, God who did not spare his own son, how will he not also graciously give us all things? The cross is a powerful cleanser. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We are cleansed through the blood that was shed on that cross. It's a powerful motivator. Moves people to reach out to God and accept Him and accept Jesus Christ as Savior and to become a working Christian for Him. It moves us as nothing else can. So my question to you this morning, can you reject such love as that? Can you reject an empty tomb? Can you reject the empty cross? Can you reject a risen Savior who is Jesus Christ of Calvary? Can you reject the act, this love of God for you? That's what it's all about. So he went on to that tomb. He died on the cross. He said, "Lord, it is finished." And it was. And if you've never read all the things that occurred in the world when that happened, you need to go back and read the Bible. See what it says. Because it was a magnificent time. But Jesus died for us. For all of us. They nailed him through both hands, through both feet, hung him on a cross, and then cut his side with a sword and tried to feed him vinegar. Tried to feed him vinegar. And yet, he lives. He lives. God raised him from the dead. God's power raised him. And I would love to have been there to see the faces of the disciples when he came in the door. Wouldn't you? Would have loved it. So I know those who are here this morning. And normally I'd have an invitation time here. But instead of invitation time, I want us just to stand. I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes, and I want you to begin praying for yourself or someone else.